Praise the Lord, folks. It's really important for us to move beyond. I know, you know, this spirit of the age that kind of has us held bondage. It's really important for us when we come to church for us to break free of that. Break free of that. That spirit of this age that has everyone just kind of hunkered down, afraid. And when we come to the house of the Lord, we know that the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. And we need to believe the Lord for that liberty as we gather into every service. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And with that, we're going to read in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this book, if you look at it from one perspective, it's discouraging, depressing, a lot of hopelessness here. But at the same time, we need to look at this from the perspective of what God can do and how that God can bring someone out and bring deliverance into the life of a person. Amen. Amen. Let's read here in chapter 1, the book of Ecclesiastes, and verse number 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. That pretty well settles it. It doesn't say anywhere else in the book that it was Solomon, but we know that he was the son of David and the king in Jerusalem, and so we can pretty well determine that Solomon is the writer here. He's the preacher in this book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, whither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. So you already concluded that Solomon is the writer here in the book of Ecclesiastes. He is the preacher. He's the preacher in this short message, this short book. This isn't the only book that Solomon wrote. He wrote Proverbs. He wrote Song of Solomon. And each one of these books were written kind of in seasons of his life. The book of Proverbs is filled with all these wonderful wisdom sayings from Solomon, and probably in the earlier part of his reign. And then Song of Solomon is in another season. And then the last of his writings at the end, it's not chronologically placed in the scripture, but most believe that Ecclesiastes is the last book and a message that that he wrote. And so with all of that, let me just take a moment just to talk a little bit about it's important to know what's going on so you can understand why this message. This message is a message from Ecclesiastes that really was written by this king in his latter years, and he's looking back over his life, and he is speaking with regret. He is talking about failures that he had, mistakes that he made, and the only consolation when you read through it, if you read through it, it's so depressing, many of the things that he went through, but the great consolation is that at the end of Ecclesiastes, it's obvious that Solomon, who knew God, but then walked away from God, led the nation into idolatry, but at the end, likely, came back to God. He said, let's hear the conclusion. Verse 13, at the end of the book, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He understood that, and apparently Solomon, at the end of his life, has come back to God, and now he's living with the regret of his failure and his turning away from the Lord. How could that happen? How could it happen? This man, who was known to be the wisest and probably the blessed, most blessed of all the kings of Israel, how could he find himself in the midst of idolatry and sin and such turning away from the Lord? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and just see if we can answer some of those questions. He was called the preacher. This word Ecclesiastes in the original literally means the one that calls out. And we know that the ecclesia in the Greek, the New Testament, is the church. It's the called out ones. And so the preacher is the one that calls them together, that brings them together. And so he's bringing them together to give them this last message, to let them know of his failures, of his regret, of his failure, and how that you can get back to God, how you can return back to the Lord. Solomon became the king of Israel, of course, when his father David died. And David had reigned for 40 years. Solomon was young. He was probably in his teens, maybe only 16, 17 years old whenever he became king. And then in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord appears to him in the early days of his reign as a young teenage king. The Lord appears to him in a dream and reveals himself to Solomon and says to Solomon, I'm paraphrasing, Solomon, whatever you want, whatever you ask for, whatever you desire, I will give it to you. Now that's quite an opportunity, isn't it? For the Lord to say, I'll give you anything. I'll give you anything you desire. Just ask. What do you want? And Solomon said, well, I'm just a child. I don't know. I really don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. He clearly recognized that he was not capable of handling this big task as king. And so there was a great humility in Solomon there at the beginning that recognized, I don't know how to do this. This job is too big for me. I'm overwhelmed with this. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. And so then he tells the Lord what he wants. Lord, I need understanding. I need discernment. I need wisdom to be able to serve your people, to be able to minister to your people. So that was a real revelation of the kind of character that this young man had, that he was humble and he recognized his need of help from the Lord. I'm just a child, he said. And so whenever he made the request for discernment and for wisdom, the Bible says it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord that his request wasn't a selfish request. He could have said, give me a long life, or give me much wealth and riches, or he could have asked for a lot of things selfishly, but instead he asked for knowledge and discernment and wisdom so he would know how to fulfill his role as king of Israel. It pleased the Lord that his request wasn't selfishly motivated. And so he said, I'm going to give you the wisdom that you've asked for, and I'm going to give you all the things you didn't ask for. That's really just like the Lord, isn't it? When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you're willing to accept your need of God and admit, Lord, I need you to help me in my present situation. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will provide for you. That's exactly what happened to this young King Solomon. He was exalted. He was honored beyond any of the kings of Israel. This young king was so blessed, and you can read about it there in 1 Kings chapter 10 and chapter 11. You can read about the great wealth of Solomon, about the great accomplishments of Solomon, all that he had, all the wonderful, all of it was a blessing from the Lord to Solomon and to the nation of Israel as God blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. It actually says that Solomon's, the vessels that he would drink out of and the vessels that he would use to eat, everything to set the table was all made of pure gold. There was no silver. It says that the silver was so plenteous that it was like stones. It was just like rocks. It was so plenteous that it wasn't even seen as valuable. And so instead it was gold that Solomon had. There was a queen by the name of Sheba, probably from the area of Arabia. And the fame of Solomon had gone out everywhere. And so she decided to travel to Jerusalem and to see if this is really true, all the things that I have heard about the blessing of the Lord upon his life. In chapter 10, it says that she made the journey. She saw all the wisdom of Solomon, that she saw all the things that he had built. In verse 5, it says the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. All these things she watched. She saw his household, she saw his wealth, she saw his wisdom, and she saw the way that he worshiped God, and she was amazed by this. It says that she saw this, and there was no more spirit in her. I mean, it literally means when she saw all that was going on in the kingdom of Solomon, it literally took her breath away. It was so amazing, all that she saw. And she said to Solomon, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. And so Solomon's early days were days were of great blessing, great accomplishment. The hand of the Lord was upon him. That's probably the season of time that he wrote the Proverbs. And we read the Proverbs and can glean all the wonderful wisdom that Solomon had. Amen. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. But then Solomon began to make decisions. We don't really know why or where the change came, but somewhere along the line, he became so self-sufficient and so so accomplished that he must have begun to think, this was me. This was me. This is the danger. This is the danger that can happen to anyone who has a lot. There's a deceitfulness that's associated with riches. There's a deceitfulness that is associated with gain and all the things of this world. Solomon had it all. He had it all. But then he began to make some alliances with some pagan kings. He began to take princesses, daughters of these foreign kings, and married them. So much so that he eventually had 700 wives. Nobody needs 700 wives. 700 wives and 300 concubines. The very things that had been driven out by his predecessors, the destroying of idols, the tearing down of the high places, all of those things that eventually brought the blessing of God to Jerusalem and to Israel, all those things are now being reintroduced back into Israel and the lifestyle of Israel. Even so much that this idolatry and this paganism came in. And it says that he began even to follow in the worship of Ashtaroth and others of these pagan gods, which included the murdering and the sacrificing of their children. It's mind-boggling that someone could have such blessing and such of a touch of God upon their life and then to lose it all in making bad, bad decisions. It says in 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon loved many strange women. Then it lists those of the daughters of Pharaoh from Egypt, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidians, Hittites, had 700 wives, princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Amen. Those wives turned his heart away from the true and the living God. So you have to be very careful about who you associate with. You have to be very careful about your connections and your heart, where you allow your heart to go, where you allow to set your affections. It may seem harmless, and to him, it was probably in the beginning, it was a political strategy that he had, bringing them together, thinking, I'm going to be able to get this all under control and all of these foreign nations, and I'll be able to politically control them and bring them under control. But he didn't bring into his assumptions the fact that there were going to be women brought into his household who were pagan and idol worshipers, and they were going to get a hold of his heart. They were going to get a hold of his heart. Doesn't the Bible say that we are to guard our hearts? Keep your heart, it says, with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Make sure of your heart and where you set your affections, what you are going after. Whatever your motives might be, it's not good enough if you allow your heart to go after things that are going to be competing with your relationship with God. Whatever that it is, it doesn't matter what it might be, make sure that you put your heart on guard. Amen. Amen. So Solomon, with all of his accomplishments, now when he writes at the end, the last season, his life can be divided into three different seasons. And the last season of his life is when he's writing the book of Ecclesiastes. And you know that 38 times he uses the word vanity. Vanity, vanity, vanity of vanities. And the word vanity means empty, empty. It just means empty. He was going along, but he was running on empty. He had lost his touch of God. He had lost the favor of God. He'd lost the blessing of the Lord, but he's going right on. and going deeper and deeper and leading the nation of Israel into idolatry. And the whole nation is being turned away from the true and the living God. One writer that I read after said that the altars that he built to offer these sacrifices, many of them their own children, was in sight of the great temple of Solomon that he had built. How unbelievable that someone could make some foolish decisions that lead him so far away from God that he's offering child sacrifices in sight of the great temple of Solomon. Oh, how far that people can go when they begin to make decisions without God. Amen. Some of you may be thinking, well, if the wisest man that ever lived made that big of a mistake, then what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to you or to me? Well, the Bible says very clearly we are to guard our heart and to keep it with all diligence. And we have to be careful to be reminded of the fact that everything that this world has to offer is emptiness, it's vanity. And if you move in that direction, it doesn't matter what kind of things or possessions that you have. I've taken notice in recent weeks or months of some of these people who have, you know, you can Google anything. But these pop stars, rock stars, who really seem like they're really silly. I guess I could use the word stupid. The way some of them act. It's just so unbelievable how ridiculous that some of them are. Then you look at their net worth. One of the dumbest, and I won't speak his name, but one of the most foolish of these rappers and pop stars is worth $1 billion. And he's just crazy. He does crazy, wild, and foolish things. But I think there's this overriding thing in their lives. They have just about everything they could ever want. They were like Solomon. When you read about Solomon, he would send his ships. He had major navies and major people who went out in ships, and they went to different parts of the world, and they would bring back to him. One place it says here that they would bring back to him apes, monkeys, and peacocks. I mean, he just was bored. He had so many things. And so many possessions. It's like a lot of people in this world today that they have millions of dollars. They have all kinds of possessions. They have homes all over the country and in other places around the world. But they can't be satisfied with all of those things because it's all emptiness. It's all vanity. It's all vanity of vanities. And Solomon now is toward the end of his life. And he's writing this somewhat of a journal of his life, his failures, his mistakes. And he just keeps saying, it's all emptiness. It's all vanity. Doesn't mean anything. It's all worthless. All these things that I have, all these possessions that I have, all of these blessings and all that, it means nothing if you don't have a right relationship with God. If you're not walking with the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, then all of these things are vanity of vanities. And Solomon made the terrible error that he made by allowing his heart to be stolen away by these women. He set his heart, his affection, upon those things, and they stole his heart away. They caused him to do things that were unthinkable, that he would have never, ever have considered in the early years of his life. But he allowed his heart to be stolen away. Amen. And I think also we need to remember the far-reaching effect of every decision that we make. No man lives to himself. I've heard people say it before. Well, this is my life. I'll live it the way I want to. It's nobody else's business. Well, that's just not the truth. That's not the truth. The way you live, it affects others. Everybody around you, your family's affected. Your friends are affected. Those that you associate with are affected. If you're not living a life that's pleasing to God and honoring the Lord, you don't live just to yourself. We all have a certain sphere of influence and impact, and our lives are touching other people. And we need to be reminded that not only do we need to guard our heart, but we need to be reminded of the far-reaching effect. If we make decisions that lead us away from God, there are going to be those following us. There are going to be those who are going to be right in our footsteps, doing what we're doing and living like we're living. And so you can make a decision that's just to yourself. That's a foolish and a selfish idea to think that you can live just to yourself. No one lives to himself. We all have a responsibility to those that are around us. Every one of us do. I know it's varying degrees of responsibility, but we all have a responsibility to people that we can have an impact upon them. That's the reason why it's so important that we live a godly life, that we live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. It's so important that we walk in obedience to the Lord, because there are those following us, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your business associates, the community that knows you are going to be affected by your decisions. If you begin to move away from the things of God, Solomon made awful decisions and the whole nation of Israel was impacted by it. Amen. It's the truth. And then he recognized the emptiness. Here in the latter years of his life, he recognized the emptiness of a life gone astray, away from God. You know, the older you get, the more that you review your life. And there's no one that gets to my age that doesn't look on your past and say, "Oh, I blew it there. I messed up there. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have made that decision. I shouldn't have done this." Everyone has regrets, and you look at your past from that perspective. But you don't have to come to the end of your life empty. You don't have to come to the closing years, the latter season of your life, empty. You can come to the end of your life understanding that God can take your life and do something with it and accomplish something with it for the glory of God. He had his priorities all twisted around. You notice that it took twice as long to build Solomon's house as it took to build the house of God. His priorities were misplaced. He was making bad decisions that affected him. It affected his kingdom, his influence, and all that he was doing. And he comes to the end of it all. And when he reviews, thankfully, I believe he is in Ecclesiastes, he is going through kind of like a journal of his life and his years. And he's saying, a lot of these things that I have done is emptiness. It's empty. It's vanity. It doesn't mean anything. And the only way to make sure that your life has purpose and that you can live at every season of your life and even come down to the closing season of your life, and you can look at on the past and say, I did some things that were right. I did what was right. I did my best to follow God. I followed after the Lord. You know, I think it's worthwhile to admit your failures and your mistakes, to confess them. That's really what Solomon is doing. And then he's saying, fear God. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This sums it all up here. Fear the Lord. Keep his commandments. Walk according to the ways of the Lord. Amen. I've known of people, even people in ministry, who get to the latter end of their life and then they just relax. They give up and they relax their commitments, their convictions. They just begin to live in a different kind of a way in their latter years. Well, I believe that our latter years can be years that can be just as fruitful, just as blessed. You can have the touch of God and the power of God working in your life, whatever your age might be. But the important thing is to keep your focus upon the Lord. Don't allow anything to distract you and to pull you away from your commitment to the things of God. Solomon, in all of his wisdom and all of his blessings, allowed those women to grab his heart, to get his affection, and to steal him away and to cause him to go into idolatry. and even to the point of sacrificing their children to those false gods. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It's hard to believe, but it shows just how fleeting and how empty a life can get that forsakes the Lord and becomes self-sufficient and dependent upon yourself. My question for you this morning, you may be running, you may be busy, you may be accomplishing some things, but are you empty? Are you empty? Are you doing it in your own strength? Are you doing it in your own power? If Solomon says anything in Ecclesiastes, he says, everything in this world is emptiness. It's all vanity. It doesn't really matter. It's not really, really important. Isn't it strange how we make things so important in our life and we forsake the things that are eternal, the things that have eternal value? Oh, what a terrible mistake. It's the Solomon failure, the Solomon mistake, that he had all of the things and then he forsook the Lord. Amen. Running on empty. Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Have you found yourself in that state where you may feel like, oh, I'm doing some good. I'm having some successes in my life. I'm accomplishing some things. But where are you as far as your walk with the Lord? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus today? Does it matter how the world measures your successes? The real measure that's important is, how does God see you? How does God measure what you are doing? Are you running on empty? You might be busy, but are you empty like Solomon found himself? All of these things are just emptiness. They're just void. Many of these people that have multiplied millions of dollars in our world today, there's a whole lot of emptiness in their life. A whole lot of emptiness. They have everything that they want. They own everything they want. They can just about do anything that they would like to do, but there's an emptiness in their soul. Doesn't have to be that way with you and me. We can walk with the Lord and we can enjoy the fullness of the things of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you, Lord, that you can remind us, Lord, of our decisions that we make. And Lord, how far-reaching they can be. What an impact that they can have upon our lives and upon the lives of others. I just pray today that there would be an awakening in our hearts, that we could see that all the things that the world offers is vanity, it's empty. The only thing that makes life make sense is a walk with the Lord, knowing you, Lord, having fellowship with you, Lord. That's the only thing that really makes anything worthwhile. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us if we're just moving and running and doing everything, but our hearts and our souls are empty. I pray, Lord, that there would be those in this service today that would make a turn back toward God and serve Him with our whole heart. Hallelujah.